So may I speak to the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thought of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. In the 16th century, Mothering Sunday was less about mothers and more about church. Back then, people would make a journey to their mother church once a year. This might have been their home church, their nearest cathedral, or a major parish church in a bigger town. The service which took place at the mother church symbolised the coming together of families, and this would have been a major journey for many. And another tradition was to allow those working in the fields on wealthy farms and estates in England to have a day off on the fourth Sunday of Lent to visit their mothers and possibly go to church too. This was a variation on the theme of visiting the mother church and was a move towards a more family-focused occasion. Before the days of cars and roads, family get-togethers were far more rare, and FaceTime was still a long way off. In some ways, this tradition is still alive today, as even grown-up children often visit their parents on Mothering Sunday. And Mothering Sunday was also known as Refreshment Sunday because the fasting rules for Lent were relaxed that day. So if any of you have given up anything for Lent, you're let off today, okay? Somebody's what have you given up for Lent? You're okay today, though. You can let off. Simnel cake has a strong affiliation to Mothering Sunday, as it's usually associated with spring and Easter. It resembles a Christmas fruit cake, which should be slightly lighter in texture. The other difference is the two layers of marzipan. Simnel cake should have a layer of marzipan running through the middle, like a Victoria sponge, and then another layer of marzipan on the top. And traditionally, you also roll some marzipan into 11 little eggs and place them on the top. And it's 11 because they're supposed to represent the disciples who followed Jesus, and we miss out Judas. So it's 11 and not 12. Both my gran and my dad made excellent simnel cakes. Apparently, as I never ate them because I absolutely hate marzipan. So I missed out on a treat, apparently. So I was told. Actually, when I preached this sermon at Bert Novi at 9 o'clock, one of the guys at the end said, "I'm going home to make simnel cake." So I've encouraged somebody to make simnel cake this morning. So let's look at our readings for today and see what they say about mothering. And so I'm going to use some of the letters for Mothering Sunday. We'll look at four things that Simeon said would happen to Jesus in our reading from Luke. The first thing is rise. Jesus would, in verse 34, cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. In his ministry, Jesus would show that those who thought that they were religious and important were not part of God's people. Jesus came and mixed with people who were irreligious and considered unimportant. He enabled such people to be accepted by God and showed how precious they were. This is still true today. Jesus will accept us as we are because everyone is special to God. Hated. Jesus was hated by the religious leaders of the day, who he denounced. And this is what Simeon was talking about in verse 34, to be a sign that he will be spoken against. No parent likes the thought that their child will be unpopular. But sometimes people have to stand up for what is right. Mary always supported Jesus, even when he endured opposition. The next word, hearts. Verse 35, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. By his life and teaching, Jesus reveals what people are really like, whether they are true followers of God or not. Jesus came to bring forgiveness to those who follow him. It's by worshipping Jesus and obeying his teaching that we show that we have genuinely embraced his forgiveness. And now I've got four words that are hard words: hurts, misery, agony, anguish. And a sword will pierce your own soul too, said Simeon to Mary. Mary had just been through the stigma of being unmarried and pregnant. She had gone through the pain of childbirth in pretty grotty conditions. So here she is some days later being told that she would have to go through more pain. No parent expects to bury their child. It seems to go against the natural order of what you might expect. Think of how difficult it would have been for Mary to see her son unjustly executed in a barbaric, humiliating way on the cross, which is a common death for criminals in Roman times. Of course, 3 days later, she would have been overjoyed to learn that Jesus was alive and that her son had conquered sin and death, has opened the way to God for everyone. But just imagine what she was going through in those 3 days. The Bible stories of mothering are never twee, sentimental, or saccharine. Look at the story we heard from Exodus, the story we heard of Moses' birth and early days, the protectiveness of his parents who kept him hidden for his first 3 months of life to protect him from the king's edict to kill all Jewish babies. Out of desperation, his mother then puts him in his basket and onto the river, trusting that God will save him. I actually read it as his aunt, but actually reading this thing again, it's actually his eldest sister, isn't it? Well, who was keeping an eye, and the Pharaoh's daughter who found him was prepared to disobey the edict as well. And his mother, thanks to his eldest sister's intervention, became his wet nurse, and she even gets paid for it. So I think in all three women, we can see qualities of mothering, of cunning, determination, desperation, protectiveness, and nurturing. It does make me think of the mothers in Gaza at this time and the young men we see risking life and limb to get to the aid trucks to take food back to their families. They may be a parent, an uncle, an older brother, or a cousin. So if you add to our two readings this morning the Old Testament stories of Sarah, Ruth, Rachel and Leah, Rebecca, Hannah, and from the New Testament, the story of the Annunciation, the nameless Syrophoenician woman's refusal to take no for an answer, Jesus' own tears over Jerusalem as a mother weeps for her children, longing to gather them like a hen gathers her chicks, the list of characteristics associated with mothering grows ever longer and more diverse. Mothering is all these things and more. Without someone to do those things for us, without someone to look out for our interests, to defend us, to protect us, without someone to enable us to learn our purpose in life, without someone to model trust, faith, and joy, without someone who loves us enough to let us go our own way, without someone to take the risk of loving us, even knowing that that love may bring them pain, without someone to stand with us in our times of greatest suffering, without someone to do those things for us, we are missing something crucial. And if we ourselves have nobody for whom we can do these things, we are also missing out. Who does all this for people who would otherwise never experience this kind of mothering? Well, there are charities like the Children's Society who protect children in danger and who act as an advocate for children in trouble with the law, enable children who are struggling to reach their God-given potential, who take a risk and invest in the future of children in the knowledge that they must have their own integrity, yet at the same time walk with them on their journey of self-discovery, and affirm that all children are, in the words of Moses' mum, beautiful before God. I love that phrase. Sometimes the Children's Society and other charities that work with vulnerable children are involved in finding out the situations of extreme suffering, tragedy and crisis, new and life-giving ways of creating family and community, just as Jesus did from the cross, when he asked his mother and his best friend John to care for each other when he had gone, and just as Moses' mum did when she risked everything to give her son a chance at life. We might think about our own lives, our experiences of mothering or of being mothered, remembering with thanksgiving the people who have done those things for us. And perhaps we might also think of times when we have been failed by those who were supposed to care for us, or those times when we ourselves have failed. If mothering were only done by mothers, it would be very hard indeed to ensure that everyone received the nurturing, the protection, the love, the sacrifice, the guidance that we need to become the people we are meant to be. As a church community, we are called into a role of mothering that sometimes might need to be just as desperate, fierce, loyal, grieving as the mothers in today's readings. If we as a church truly love the community in which we are situated, just as God loves it, and if we are to be God's holy people for God's needy world, then we will feel the pain of the world's suffering, and we will be willing to sacrifice something of ourselves in order to bring to birth God's purposes for the world. On the cross, God's love is nailed firmly to the world so as never to let it go. Is our love for the world so firmly fixed as this? Are we this passionate about nurturing the world into becoming the place that God created it to be? A truly parental love is one that would give anything and everything for the child. This is the love of God that we see on the cross, but this is also the love that we are called to have for one another and for all of God's creation. When we love like that, we make our mothering God visible in the world. Amen.